RadioInfluence.com.
Why, Crusher, it's good to see you.
Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and text Crush at 101260 with your questions, comments, or smart-ass remarks.
All right, welcome to Crush Performance, everyone. I am Jeff Crushell. The con man is behind the glass, keeping us on track, and we're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you have any comments, questions or smart remarks, get to us. CrushPerformance.com is the website. You can go to our contact page, drop us an email there or a message. We answer every single one we get. If you're on Twitter, at Jeff Crush is my Twitter handle, and on the Facebook, it is Crush Performance. We're just hooking everybody up there with the world of sport performance to help you achieve your goals and be at your very, very best. And today is no exception. Today we are wrapping up our 2017 War on Sugar campaign. This will be the final Crush War on Sugar show of this year. We'll be kicking it off again in January as we continue this very, very important work. A couple of years ago, when my mother's mental health started deteriorating, and it deteriorated fast. According to the Alzheimer's doctors and dementia doctors we were working with, it was one of the fastest declines they'd ever seen. And shortly after my mom got sick and was slipping away from us, my dad developed cancer and he was in the hospital. And I was sitting with him one day and he said, "You know, son, I'm not a scientist. I don't have a background in medicine." He said, "But listen," he says, "I've got a feeling that, you know, your mother's sweet tooth has something to do with the way she is today." Well, my dad's still fighting the good fight. He's been battling through, and it's been a couple hard, hard years for him, but he is an inspiration to everybody. But he didn't realize at that time how right he really was. When it comes to degenerative brain diseases, we now have a very, very clearer understanding of the impact our diets are having on mental health, and it's staggering. Today on the show, we will visit with our good friend and Crush favorite, Dr. Andweis Allen, who is the chief of biomedical research at the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C., as we tackle a couple of really important questions. One, we're going to try to outline and understand what the glycemic index is all about. The glycemic index is sort of a measurement as to how food reacts in the body in terms of blood chemistry, insulin response, and what happens to those foods when they enter the body. How does the body react to the food that we eat? And we're also going to get into the impact of sugar on human performance. Some very interesting and alarming new research coming out when it comes to a human performance. So for our athletes out there, you'll want to pay attention to today's conversation as it ties back to everything you eat and drink before, during, and after training and competition. So we'll get into it there. But today, you know, just to kick things off here, I just wanted to go back and just rehash some of the major points that we've been concerned about when it comes to sugar in our diets and why we started the war on sugar. Of course, my mom was my number one inspiration. We just don't want people to have to deal with what she went through. And if it does tie directly back to that sugar that she was consuming, and she did have a sweet tooth, cookies and cinnamon buns and teaspoons of sugar in her tea and coffee, and, you know, just a classic sweet tooth. And at the time, of course, it tastes great. We knew maybe some implications in terms of obesity and body fat, and she was not overweight. She was healthy. But to see her disappear the way she did really inspired me to delve back into that world of brain health and the correlation between our diets and brain health. But there was another instance that really put me over the top. I was on my way home from a training session with some athletes, and my wife drops me a text, "Hey, can you stop and pick up some milk and we need some butter. And no problem. So I stopped by the local corner store just to make a quick stop. And in front of me in line at the cashier are these two little duffers. I'm guessing maybe 10, 11, maybe 12 years old on the upside. And they have their hockey equipment on and their parkas over their hockey equipment. And it looked like they were heading out to hockey practice. So I'm standing behind the boys and they turn around. They've paid for their stuff. And I said, hey, boys, head out to hockey practice. They looked at me kind of funny and they said, yeah, we're heading to hockey practice. And I couldn't help but notice. Okay, and these are, you know, little heavier set, you know, young boys heading to hockey practice, a couple of buddies. But I couldn't help but notice what they just pay for. One of the kids had a 1 gallon jug of sport drink and a bag of chips. And the other had one of the large cans of energy drink and a chocolate bar. And I just had to stop them. And I said, boys, I said, hey, do your parents know what you guys just bought there? And they looked at me and they're looking at me like, stranger danger, but I couldn't help myself. I had to say something because truthfully, I was alarmed and they kind of looked at me like, yeah, you know, my parents just gave us this money. We're on our way to practice. And boom, they walked by me and gave me a weird look like I was some kind of weirdo or something. But I honestly was taken back and I stood there for a second and there's people behind me in the line and the cashier yells, hey, man, what do you got there? So I paid for my milk and my butter. And on my way home, I came up with the idea of just starting the crush war on sugar, just using the platform of the radio show and the podcast to just spread the information. And so we're just finishing off our second year. We've dedicated pretty much one show every month, sometimes two, to the war on sugar based on new research that's coming out and visiting with some of the world's top experts. And, you know, some of the data that we've had over the years has just truthfully been pretty alarming. I mean, when we look at just the amount of sugar that we're consuming. And it was early in 2016 when the data came out looking at the average adult American consuming between 150 and 170 pounds of refined sugar in 1 year. And they didn't stop there. They went back just to give us an idea of the trend. They went back to 1822 and they looked at the amount of sugar the average American was consuming. And this was the quote out of the study. And they said that the average adult North American ate the amount of sugar found in one of today's 12-ounce sodas every 5 days. So the amount of sugar in one soft drink every 5 days. Today, we're consuming that much every 7 hours. In 1822, we consumed the amount of sugar in one soda every 5 days. Today, we're consuming that much every 7 hours. And then if we move forward just a little bit, the World Health Organization, shortly after that research came out, they announced that Westerners in general need to slash sugar intake by 2/3. And that we should be striving to limit the amount of sugar we consume over the course of the day to between 6 and 12 teaspoons of sugar a day. That's about the amount found in one of those sodas. In fact, in a 12-ounce can of soda, there's about 8 ounces of simple sugar. So if you drink 4 cans of soda or juice, that's about a quarter pound of sugar. It's just off the charts. And it's not just the natural sugar we need to be aware of. We need to be aware of all types of sweeteners. So we need to pay attention to our total sugar intake. But the rub here is there are so many different names for sugar. And in one study that came out in early 2017, over 100 different ways for companies to say sugar-free, while there's incredibly sweet substances inside of their products. In fact, depending on which research you look at, there's between 50 and 60 different names for sugar. Agave nectar, cane crystals, cane sugar, corn sweetener, corn syrup, dextrose, maltose, sucrose, molasses, high fructose corn syrup, maltodextrins. It goes on and on and on. So we need to pay attention to everything that's going into our body because some of those are not actually sugar, yet our body can perceive them as way sweeter than actual natural sugar. And this leads us to wanting to understand how foods react inside of the human body, and more so, and probably more properly, how our body reacts to what's going into our bodies. And this sort of revolves around the conversation that we're going to get to today with Dr. Allen about the glycemic index, trying to really understand what happens in our bodies when we consume certain foods. Well, in March of 2016, an article that was published in the Journal of Cancer Epidemiology, Biomarkers, and Prevention really made us take pause. According to the senior study author, Dr. Wu at the Department of Epidemiology at the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, their research was looking at the impact of high glycemic diets on certain types of cancer. And their report highlighted a staggering statistic that you have a 49% greater lung cancer risk with a high glycemic diet. 49% greater lung cancer risk with a high glycemic diet, which was staggering. You know, we knew the association of lung cancer with smoking, pollution, but this is the first time I think we had definitive research pointing to the fact that high glycemic diets might be feeding certain types of cancer. And then the plot thickened as we looked at research coming out of the Albert Einstein College of Medicine, where they were looking at the impact, again, of diet on general health. And their research was looking at brain disease and specifically Alzheimer's. And it was noted that high sugar diet raises your risk of Alzheimer's, and that Alzheimer's is projected to triple by the year 2050 unless we get preventative. And the biggest method for preventing the onset of Alzheimer's was adjusting your diet on a daily basis. And that's how powerful this has become. And that's what the war on sugar is truly all about. We are going to post a blog with a link to every single War on Sugar episode that we've had so far. So look for that at crushperformance.com. That'll be coming up here later in December. And we'll be kicking off our 2018 campaign as we head into the new year. But to get a better understanding of what the glycemic index is all about and how sugar in our diet might be impacting our athletes and our performance in sport, we're going to talk with our good friend, Dr. Andoise Allen, the Chief of Biomedical Research at the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C., right after this, everybody. So stick around. A very important discussion coming up right after this. The holiday season is upon us, and we know how hard it can be to find that perfect gift. So we're investigating the best gift ideas for the athlete on your gift list this season. We'll look at the coolest gadgets, the newest equipment, the latest technology, and we'll reveal the Crush Top 10 gift ideas for this holiday season. And tune in for details on the annual Crush Stuff Your Stocking giveaway. It's our favorite time of year, and we practically do your shopping for you. So join us throughout December, and happy holidays to all.
If you have any performance questions, comments, or smart remarks, text Crusher at 101260 and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
Welcome back to Crush Performance, everyone. Thanks for sticking around over that break. I'm Jeff Crushell, and this is Crush Performance. Hey, this is our final War on Sugar episode of 2017. It's been a great campaign this year. A lot of great information, a lot of great feedback from you, our listeners, a lot of great questions and comments as well. So keep those coming. If you do want to write to us, go to crushperformance.com, go to the contact page. You can follow us on Twitter at Jeff Crush, and on Facebook, it's Crush Performance. All right, let's get down to business. So today, I wanted to shed some light on the glycemic index and why I think it might be one of the most important concepts for all of us to truly get an understanding of when it comes to our health and what we eat. And there's no one better to talk about the glycemic index than Dr. Andoise Allen, who is the Chief of Biomedical Research for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. She's been studying the glycemic index for more than 30 years, and she was the first person ever awarded a patent relating to the glycemic index. And we're so glad to have her on for this final Crush War on Sugar episode of 2017. Dr. Allen, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, glad to be here.
Doc, I couldn't do it. Couldn't think of a better time and a better partner to do it with than you as we try to just sort of lay out the landscape of understanding in terms of where we're at and where we've come from and where what we need to do moving forward in terms of, you know, the health-related issues to daily diet.
Yeah, really. You know, in the past 30 years, it's been going in one direction. One direction that leads to 90% of the disease, the obesity, the diabetes, the childhood obesity, the stimulating genes that cause cancer, and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. Harvard is doing massive amount of research, and their research is like, as you can imagine, it's spot on, okay, about the glycemic index and diseases and obesity and whatever. And it turns out that the number one most important thing in looking at what you eat or drink on this planet is going to be how it affects your blood sugar and your brain glycemic indexing.
Right. And Dr. Allen, you know, this is one of the questions that we've had. And of course, you've been on the show many times before, and we've mentioned the glycemic index. And a lot of the questions that come across our board through the email and the text are related to people not quite understanding what the glycemic index is. Look, would it be fair to say, Dr. Allen, that we really, there hasn't been a lot of major breakthroughs when it comes to food sciences recently, but I think we've got a better understanding of how it works. I personally believe that one of the most important concepts to understand if we're going to really, really do battle and help our athletes perform and help our populations be healthy is understand the glycemic index, what it means and how it works. Is that a fair statement, do you believe?
Yeah, but you know, there actually is some really groundbreaking research that nobody on this call has ever heard this. Probably most of the people in the United States have not heard this. We've been very reticent to discuss it because it's going to make a lot of people mad in the sports industry. But as you know, the second newest news was that high glycemic carbs are directly linked to lung cancer.
Right.
And they're the number one cause of lung cancer. Not number two, not number three, not smoking. Okay? That right there is scary as crap. But that's not the new news. The new news is that high glycemic drinks reduce testosterone in males. Now, let's take an athlete and let's reduce his testosterone, shall we?
It's catastrophic. We're talking with Dr. Andoise Allen, who is the chief biomedical officer at the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. This is exactly what we don't want to happen, Dr. Allen. I mean, if we look at what athletes are striving for, and if we look at just the population in general, everybody's trying to boost their testosterone, not reduce it. Okay, this is alarming news.
All these people are taking, you know, they're going to nitric oxide, the GH route, you know, they're all kind of different routes. They're really, in my opinion, after having received a patent on this and researched it for 30 years, there's only one viable way, but we're not going to get into that today, was that when we saw, and you know, we can get into this later if you guys want to see the clinical trials. They're independent clinical trials published on the internet, but I'll tell you what, they will bomb my house. The sports drink manufacturers, I will see them haul away my nice new Range Rover, okay, and blow it up if I go too much there. But that's the most scathing research that we have seen in 30 years, is that high glycemic drinks reduce testosterone. You know, that's, you can look at an athlete and you drain his testosterone, okay, or just reduce it slightly, okay? His performance is going down, aside to mention the fact of, in normal people, it's going to increase your risk of prostate cancer in males. It's going to ruin your sex life, okay? It's going to ruin your energy levels. Those are just, you know, some selfish reasons. But in an athlete, you start reducing testosterone in a significant manner, and I'm talking it stays reduced for 4 hours. Try that on a football field.
Right. And Doc, the drop in testosterone is almost immediate, and it's significant, isn't it? It's a massive drop.
Yeah, you and I have discussed that.
Yeah.
And when I called you and told you, there was like this silence.
Yeah.
There was this silence, and you were like, what? He said, did you say, it worked? And I was like, yes. And you go, how does that work? What's the mechanism, right? So we get into the mechanism for a couple of hours, and you go, God, that's solid. It's solid. That is really going to upset some people, because what are you going to do now with sports drinks that are high glycemic, okay?
Right.
What are you going to do?
Which is virtually everyone out there. Doc, so you know what? I do want to get to that. I do want to get to that conversation. I'd like to delve into that a little deeper, because when we first started perusing that research, it really connected a lot of dots for me. A lot of the performance issues that we've been seeing in the past that we just couldn't figure out, the deficits, a lot of things came clear. Once we started making adjustments based on this new research, our athletes went through the roof. So, hey, Dr. Allen, could we start here? Could we sort of paint a picture?
What is the glycemic index?
Right. Well, that's the big question. I think in order for everybody to understand why we're where we at and why we're talking about what we're talking about, how about we share with everybody?
It's funny because I'll get on stage, and they'll be like, I don't know, 4,000 people in Japan, and I'll start talking about the glycemic index and won't even really stop to say what it was, and I guess I got to back up. One of the most interesting things about the glycemic index is when just recently a scientist discovered a brain sugar switch. So think about that. A brain sugar switch. The brain and its infinite wisdom, I mean, we're really stupid. As beings, we're stupid. It's the brain who's got everything going, and it's going, yeah, I got a brain sugar switch, and I've had it since you've been alive, but you never knew about it, right?
Right.
And what you going to do about it, okay? So I was like, a brain sugar switch? What is that? Well, it has to do with the glycemic index, and that's why we have to combine the glycemic index with brain glycemic indexing, because that's what causes the brain to respond to, in a glycemic index matter, is things like monk fruit and Truvia and artificial sweeteners and things like that. It doesn't know what that is. So it's got its own switch, right? It's got its own neuronal switch in the brain. And really that's run by cell types like astrocytes that regulate metabolic process, and I know that you'd kill me if we talked about astrocytes, so we're not. Well, I swear to God, I promise you we would not talk about astrocytes. But it really all has to do with one thing, and it's really simple. It's the burnable carbs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And burnable carbs are the speed and efficacy of a molecule that either turns into real fuel and is utilized, or it's going to piss off your brain and your body, right?
Right.
If it's not a burnable fuel and you can't use it and it doesn't know what it is, it goes to that switching mechanism that it has that has to do with astrocytes. I mean, they've got it totally, totally tracked. So that's when we get down to, in sports drinks, and in food, is to fuel partitioning, okay? So fuel partitioning really means, or what type of a carb are you taking in? What is it doing with those carbs or sugars, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how is it using it? Is it using it in a destructive way to increase your risk of cancer and reduce your testosterone and reduce your sports performance? Or is it actually doing something good?
Right.
So if you look at, when we talk about sports drinks, they're not as simple as they look, okay? Some people just put some sugar in there and some flavor and go, there's your sports drink, okay? And you know what I say to them? I go, have you really taken into account the glucose transporter, GLUT5, which uses a different transporter that is not sodium dependent and highly specific to certain low glycemic molecules? And they go, what?
Right.
And I go, yeah, because that's what all sports drinks are going to be based on in the future. All right, so if we're just looking at what in the world you know, is the glycemic index. So if we just go down to the basics, okay? It's really, and I'm just going to use the word qualitative, but I'm just going to say, let's go to something easier. It's just the effect that a certain amount of carbohydrates or fuel, it doesn't even have to be a carbohydrate, because artificial sweeteners aren't carbohydrates. They're a non-fuel, okay?
Right.
It's the effect that they have on your blood sugar, your insulin levels, and your brain glycemic indexing. In other words, that it identifies the extent of the blood sugar response in its simple terms, just digestively, following the ingestion of a certain amount of food. So when we've done our trials, which we've done for, you know, 30 years, we'll take 50 grams of available carbohydrates, we'll feed them to someone, and then we'll test how their blood sugar and their insulin and, you know, different parameters like fat storing, lipoprotein, lipase, neuropeptide Y, agouti, and all those things. We're looking to see how does it affect them. And it just becomes more shocking day by day.
Mm.
And then we test the glycemic load, which means how much of that are you going to eat, okay? So my sister might say, okay, you've only eaten two french fries and I've eaten 755.
Right.
So
right.
We got to include the glycemic load of
right.
How much of that did you eat?
So here's a question that just came in, Dr. Allen. It says, so Dr. Allen, I'm understanding that everything we eat has a glycemic index. That's actually a pretty good question,
yes.
Because everything
whoever
does.
Whoever that is freaking smart.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yep.
It doesn't, like I said, it doesn't even have to be a carbohydrate. That's the scary part, okay? When we did all that research on diet soda, and we, you know, it was an accident, really, as you know, they're not going to admit it, but really good science is usually an accident, you know. Madame Curie and a lot of stuff Einstein did was like, oh, I made a mistake. Okay, wait a minute. It's not a mistake. So, you know, we were looking at the bottom line of a response of a very famous beverage company. I would say it's the biggest in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Hired us to see what happens if you combine different sugars and sweeteners with different artificial sweeteners. Well, we started seeing the wackiest things you've ever seen. So we thought, okay, wait a minute. We got to separate all this stuff out. We have got to separate the isomaltulose from the maltodextrins, from the glucose polymers, from the artificial sweeteners, you know, from the stevia-like compounds.
That's all the different sweeteners and carbohydrates and everything they had in there, right, Doc? Just to let everybody know what all those names mean?
No, those were in a bunch of different drinks.
Oh, gotcha.
Not in one.
Right.
Not in one. But we thought, wait a minute, we're getting the wackiest, because for 30 years we'd be getting standard answers.
Right.
Then we start adding, because, you know, what happened was soda companies started combining sweeteners, regular, like cane sugar. Oh, my God, the new thing is natural cane sugar. If you think that natural organic cane sugar is any different in your body than just fatso sugar, you got another thing coming, okay? So they're coming up all these nice, it's organically grown, and it's, you know, that ain't going to do nothing.
Yeah.
It don't care if it's organic or not. It's going to react a certain way. So we started separating out the sugars and the sweeteners. And that's when we said, okay, well, this is a waste of time, but we'll just do the artificial sweeteners because they're not going to do anything to the brain and body. And, oh, yes, they did. Okay, and out comes the clinical trial in major universities 3 months later that diet sodas is more fattening than regular soda.
Right. It was alarming. And that came out of the University of Texas. That was the big one with Sharon Fowler.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And they were the first ones. And we were like, oh, my God, we were right. We were crazy, you know, because here's what we saw. With artificial sweeteners, we saw the brain spilling out more insulin than if you'd eaten 50 buckets of sugar, because that's what your brain thought was coming.
Right. Because
you eat 1,400 times sweeter than sugar, and the brain goes, oh, really? That's you going to play that on me?
Yeah.
You want diabetes. I see that you want diabetes. Okay, that's what you're going to get. So now we've got, you know, Oh, no, it's not type 1 and type 2 diabetes anymore. Now we got type 3 diabetes, okay? And that is a real thing. It's been quantified, and it's now something we're going to have to deal with. So if you look at anything that's wrong with our blood sugar, okay, and you connect that to really what we're seeing in disease and in stimulating certain genes and in type 1, type 2, and type 3, and even Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, it's all related to blood glucose, which is glycemic index.
Right. We're talking with Dr. Anduise Allen. She's the chief biomedical officer of the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. Dr. Allen, it's fair to say, based on this conversation, and you and I have talked at length about this, that the glycemic index controls performance in absolutely every way possible and in every area of human performance.
Yeah, you know, just think about it. You're going through your day, right? And you know when you've hit low blood sugar because you start getting kind of spacey and dizzy, and particularly people that have diabetes in their family, right?
Right.
Or they may have prediabetes, or they just may not, they may not be taking enough chromium, okay? And their blood sugar balance is not good. And they'll get all spacey, and it can just get worse and worse and worse until you're in a really bad mood and you want to stab somebody or whatever, and it ranges from mild, but you know you start to lose cognitive function, right?
Right.
Because your body needs some burnable fuels.
Right. So, Doc, here's a question for you that just came in. I think this is a pretty smart one as well. They're saying, so, Crusher, Dr. Allen, so if I understand this correctly, some foods score very high in the glycemic index. Some foods score really low. If I'm walking in the supermarket, how do I know which foods would be or would score well on the glycemic index? That's
okay.
A great question.
I love that question,
yeah.
And it drives me crazy,
yeah.
Because I can't give you a good answer. Here's your good answer. If it's a simple food, like a cucumber, low, okay, a sweet potato, low, a potato, high, okay, a watermelon, really high, okay, we can walk through the vegetable department, and you know the most commonly ingested foods in children, vegetables, are the highest glycemic on the face of the earth, corn and potatoes.
Right.
Okay. I didn't say they like broccoli, but, you know, if we walk through just the vegetable department, I could say this is low, this is high, because it's just a simple food. But now, go to the cereal aisle. Go to the packaged foods. They've got so much stuff in them, you can't tell what's going on.
Right. Hey.
You cannot tell what like I said, the thing that really pissed me off was when the Food and Drug Administration let the sugar industry call the most fattening sugar on the face of the earth not be called a sugar.
Right.
I mean, what is that?
Yeah.
Come on. I called them up and I go, you know what I said? I was like, really? Really?
You're absolutely right.
Well,
and Dr. Allen, there's over 50 and some, if you look at it really technical, maybe 60 different ways to say sugar without saying sugar. So,
yes.
And I believe, you know, if you really break it down, there's about 100 different ways to say sugar-free, and yet products are still laden with sweeteners that aren't technically sugars. So people have to be really, really aware.
But the problem is, how did they don't know? Here's the problem.
How would you know, right?
So look, I'm walking through the store with this guy, right?
Yeah.
And he's going, hey, how about that? You know, is that low? Is that, and I'm going, yeah. And then we go somewhere else and I go, he goes, let me pick up this label. Okay, it's got this, 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 and that. You said that's not good. This is good. And I go, but look on the label. What are the ratios? What are the freaking ratios? Okay.
Right.
So now they got this new trick, right? Where they go, they feature it like, it's got some natural stevia, you know, or monk fruit in it, blah, blah, blah. And then underneath in it, you know, in the ingredients panel, it'll say, artificial sweeteners. Do you know the ratios?
Right.
Do you know the ratios of how much sugar? Because they're combining now sugar with stevia glycosides and stevia, isomers and God knows what. You don't know the ratio. So if you eat, you know, again, we go back to the French fry. You're either eating one French fry or you're eating 700 French fries, and you don't know because they're not going to tell you the ratios that are in that product.
Okay, this is a great time to cut out. Doc, we have to cut out for one more quick commercial break. When we come back, I have a really cool text I want to get to here, and then cool. I want to get back to this idea of burnable carbohydrates. If you're okay to hang on over this commercial break.
Sure.
All right, everybody, hang on. More Crush War on Sugar right after this with Dr. Allen. Stick around. A very, very important conversation today. We'll be right back.
Radio Influence brings you the absolute best in digital audio broadcasting. We've got something for everyone. Sports personalities like the fabulous Sports Babe, Rich Herrera, and former Major League Baseball manager Kevin Kennedy as they take you inside the dugout. We'll take you inside the world of MMA with the MMA Report with Jason Floyd, the MMA Insiders, and the Valor Hour with Tim Loy and Casey Oxendine. Or you could find yourself sitting ringside with wrestling ring announcer David Penzer. TV law enforcement analyst and former police officer Vincent Hill breaks down this week's biggest crime stories and takes you beyond the badge. Chef Brian Duffy from TV's Bar Rescue shares his crazy life on the road with Duffified Live. And Scott Ledger will always make you think with some dangerous conversation. All of Radio Influence's shows can be found on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
All right, everybody, welcome back. Jeff Grishel here and the Con Man keeping us on track. We're your weekly source for performance information. Listen, if you have any text questions, get to us. The text line is 101260. Standard text rates do apply, but we also can be contacted through our website, crushperformance.com, on Twitter, at Jeff Crush, and if you're on Facebook, Crush Performance. Today, we are wrapping up our 2017 Crush War on Sugar campaign with Crush favorite, Dr. Andres Allen. Dr. Allen, hey, thanks for hanging on over the break there.
Happy to do it. You know, what I was going to say just before we had to go was that here's the problem. It's actually kind of simple. The food industry has evolved faster than our bodies.
Hmm.
So just think about that.
Yeah, I like that.
Our bodies and our brain evolves really slowly. Really slowly. Hello. But the food industry evolves really, really quickly, right?
Yes.
And those things aren't matching. So when we found the sugar switch that's in the brain, here's what it showed us, okay? That the control center of the brain remotely controls our entire metabolism, okay? Now, the brain has the highest sugar consumption of any organ, and it controls all hunger and cravings for food. And what the brain does, it takes sugar from the blood. So if you've got crap fuel floating around the bloodstream, it's only got crap fuel to pull from, right? But if you've got good fuel that it can use, and here's what's really shocking. There's recent clinical studies at Brown University by Dr. Suzanne Delamonte, MD. She's a neuropathologist, brilliant woman. And she was the first person to show that there's a link between diabetes in the brain and type 3 diabetes. So she renamed it type 3 diabetes.
Yeah.
And it's totally controlled by blood glucose and insulin that you eat or drink. Now, here's the scary thing. This, if you eat or drink high glycemic foods, right, healthy people who ate a high glycemic diet for only 1 month, that's 30 days, saw increases in spinal fluid levels of beta amyloids, and that's what people have who have Alzheimer's.
Right. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's why they're saying, and this is their quote, in type 2 diabetes, excess abdominal fat is typical due to continual flux of blood glucose and insulin levels. But high body fat levels are also tied to type 2 diabetes, type 3 diabetes, and Alzheimer's. But the number one symptom of type 3, type 1, and type 2 diabetes is elevation of blood glucose to the supply to the brain, controlled by GLUT1. Okay, again, we're getting back into the GLUT1 and the astrocytes. So now we'll,
which is pretty technical stuff, right, Doc? It's pretty technical stuff. So
it is, and I don't want to go. We don't want to get there, but yeah. We want them to know that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, no question there. Well, we're talking with Dr. Andres Allen, who's the Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C. She had one of the first glycemic patents ever on the planet, and she's one of the leading minds, if not the leading mind, when it comes to the glycemic index and how food reacts in the human body. So, hey, Dr. Allen, just on that note here, I just want to get to this text because it was a good one. Okay. This came in from Roy. Roy said, so, Dr. Allen, Crusher, listen, if I had a plate of 100 calories of white bread and another plate with 100 calories of blueberries, those aren't the same. The blueberries, 100, I guess what he's saying here, ultimately, it's pretty
they
long.
They don't act like calories the same. He's totally right.
Right.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
They're not even in the, you know, to the brain, they're not even in the same food chain.
So,
yes, he's right.
Yeah. So, this goes with
certain. One is a non-utilizable fuel, okay? You know, unless you're starving or having a peanut butter sandwich isn't going to kill you. Okay.
Right.
But the other, it looks at blueberries and go, oh, okay, this is really cool. And by the way, just so we cover this, the worst thing you can do to the human body is try to go into keto adaptation or ketosis. Okay.
So the ketogenic diets, that's a conversation for another day, but we do need to talk about that.
It only supplies up to 50% of fuel that a regular diet does, and it takes weeks or months to adapt. And when it does, it causes impaired cognitive function and mood.
Yeah. No, and I think I think we've seen that. So, Doc, this goes back to our conversation that a calorie is not a calorie. I don't care
it's
what anybody says.
No,
it's not.
They have nothing to do with each other.
And so, Roy,
nothing to do.
Yeah.
With each
so, Roy's emails or text there is actually a very, very pertinent one to this conversation.
Yeah, he's smart.
Yeah.
Now, if he was asking me what I would do, I would say actually I dump the bread and have some oatmeal and blueberries. Now, what you want to do is make sure that you combine proteins with carbs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because you need the proteins actually slow down the absorption of carbohydrates in the body and the brain, okay? It slows it down and it balances that out. We're supposed to be eating like nuts, okay, which is a protein, one of the best things you can eat. Listen, one of the best things you can do is grab some walnuts. Just grab some walnuts. They are incredible proteins, okay? And, you know, raisins are not good. You know, raisins are really out of the parade because they are very, very high glycemic, whereas grapes are not. But I would say that what you want to try to do is combine your proteins with your carbohydrates, and then your body and your brain is going to be really happy. And, you know, that should be in a ratio of somewhere between, you know, 40% protein and 40% carbs. And then we, you know, 40-40-40. Or we get into, you know, athletes need higher carbs. So athletes have to go into the 50% carb region.
Yeah.
Or they're going to crash and burn. They have to go into that region.
Yeah, or more. We're talking with Dr. Andres Allen, Chief Biomedical Officer at the Glycemic Research Institute in Washington, D.C., as we wrap up our Crush War on Sugar 2017 campaign with a bang here. Dr. Allen, one more text that I want to get to before we go back to that testosterone conversation, because that is incredible new research.
Yeah, scathing.
Scathing. Dr. Allen, very interesting comment on the diet sodas. So you're telling me the artificial sweeteners seem sweeter to the body than regular sugars? That's actually a really smart question, right? Because
not to the body, to the brain.
To the brain. And I think that's what they're alluding to on that text.
Yeah, here's what we're talking about. We're not talking about a little bit. We're talking about, you know, 400, 500, 800 times, 1,000 times more. Now, Think about it. When the brain sees this, it's not the body that decides. Okay.
Right.
Yes, there are hormones and things that react, but they're reacting to what the brain's saying to do. So the brain's looking at this and going, are you serious to me? You're going to eat 500 pounds of sugar right now. Well, I'm going to have to put out insulin. Okay. Your blood sugar is now going to spike. Your insulin level is going to go up. That increases your risk of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, low testosterone, cancer, obesity, diabetes. I mean, the list goes on.
Stop the madness.
Why would you? All right, stop the madness. Just don't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Dr. Allen, this goes, fades right into our conversation that we've had on the Swish studies, where they're not even actually consuming it, but the body goes bonkers based on the sweetness levels of a lot of these artificial sweeteners.
It don't matter if you swallow it or not.
Yeah, it's the signal you send to the brain. It's the brain game, isn't it, Doc?
Switch the brain, switch the game. If you switch the brain, you switch the entire game. And in sports, in health, in longevity, you know, for every university is moving toward controlling the glycemic response of all foods and beverages in the future.
Wow. Okay, so Dr. Allen, we have about 4 minutes, 5 minutes left. I have to go back to the conversation about the testosterone because this is alarming. Again, the reason I sat when we first contemplated this research, I was sat and I was quiet there again, because a lot of dots connected for me. We were seeing this massive performance deficit. We had the diets all lined out. We had the training and the scheduling all done, but we weren't quite getting what we wanted out of our athletes. And when we read this research and you really highlighted the impact and when it comes to the body and the way it performs in this type of a state, we cleaned that up and it's been amazing. It is incredible to me to think that, you know, high glycemic diets are, you know, really, really responsible for the prevalence of Alzheimer's and brain disease. But when it comes to testosterone and human performance, mm-hmm. you know, we're really making some big mistakes when it comes to the energy drinks and sport drink
just crazy.
Categories.
Just crazy. And by the way, I wanted to give your listeners a little hint of what I love to do with athletes. Or even if you're not an athlete. Now, we know that orange juice is incredible. Orange juice has stuff in it, honest to God, and the pulp and stuff. You know, we're not going back into the corks and the, the tiny cork particles that are in orange juice. We're not going to go there today, but we'll go there another day. But we know that orange juice is great. Here's the problem. Especially in children, they can't even have more than a quarter of a cup of orange juice. It's going to make their blood sugar go insane. I don't care who they are, okay?
Right.
Diabetic, non-diabetic, whatever. So here's a great thing to do. I love orange juice, and I want orange juice, and I want the vitamin C. And also, let us not forget that vitamin C in orange juice drives iron into the red blood cells of athletes, okay?
Right.
Of all humans, but of athletes. That's a biggie. Now, here's how you fix it. You just put maybe a cup of orange juice, and then you put a protein, like non-fat dry milk, you know, 3 or 4 tablespoons, a bunch of ice, and then you put it in a blender, and now you've got balanced nutrition. You've got protein, you've got your carbohydrates, and you switch them around from carbohydrates that are going to screw with your brain into ones that aren't.
So, Doc, say that one more time. So skim milk powder into your orange.
Non-fat dry milk.
Non-fat
yeah,
dry
skim milk powder.
Yeah, non-fat dry milk into a high pulp orange juice and some ice. And you've got yourself a vent.
You can use skim milk if you want.
Yeah.
But put ice in it, right?
Yep.
And then spin it, and it's fabulous. I drink about 3 of them a day.
And I drop in frozen strawberries and frozen blueberries as well.
Oh, okay, gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Fantastic stuff.
You know, you could that's even better. That's even better.
Yeah.
You know, if you're really bold, if you really drop some yogurt in there, but I just ain't, you know.
Yeah. That's great.
If you're going to do it, use some flavored yogurt, okay?
Absolutely.
Because one of the best things you can put in your body is yogurt. It's got everything.
Low sugar,
all you have to do
low
is
sugar
the...
yogurt.
No, it don't matter.
Oh, really? Oh, good. This is good news for everybody. Good news for everybody.
Look, here's the way that the way the yogurt is configured. It almost doesn't matter what sugar's in there.
Right, okay.
It almost doesn't matter because it undoes it. But the point is, yeah, if I was looking for one, I would look for, you know, but not one with just artificial sweeteners, okay?
Right.
So you could just get some plain Greek yogurt and put a bunch of fruit in it.
Yeah. Doc, I love it. Hey, we have about a minute and a half left here with
okay.
this conversation.
We'll go back to the testosterone.
Well, no, actually.
Because here's what made you,
yeah.
here's what made, like, the line go dead.
Yeah.
It's one that I said, high glycemic drinks lower testosterone levels by 25%.
Yeah, and most sport drinks floated in that category. So, Dr. Allen, in the last few minutes here, the last thing I'd like to really get out to you on the Crush War on Sugar campaign here is for our athletes who are drinking all these sport drinks, and please, for everybody out there, just eliminate the energy drinks for now. We'll talk about that in the new year. But what is a good option for an athlete who likes the flavor and helps them hydrate? We know that. What's a good option out there?
I really can't say.
Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it? So water is the key. Water is the key. Listen, Doc, we know that glycogen...
But water isn't going to cut it, okay? So if you're going to do it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you that the orange juice drink, right, with the protein in it is fabulous. And if you're really trying to hydrate, use less protein and more water. But, you know, also if you want to get it really low glycemic, use 100% unsweetened pear juice or peach juice.
There it is.
Right?
Yep. That's it.
Right.
Yep.
And if your blood sugar is a little bit iffy, stick some, low-fat, non-fat dry milk or skim milk or yogurt in there.
Great advice. Great advice, Doc. Okay, well, listen.
And then for kids,
yeah.
the best sports drink is chocolate milk.
Yeah.
Research has shown it.
Time and time again. Hey, how about we pick this up in the new year? Because in January, we're going to kick our 2018 campaign off with solutions. We want answers. And we just got a couple great ones today, Doc. That orange juice with the dried milk powder and some ice, strawberries, blueberries. What a great
incredible.
Way to go. Yeah.
You know, you got so hooked on it, and the amount of phytochemicals in there are insane.
Yeah.
You're going to feel so good when you drink that because your blood sugar is going to stabilize. But if orange juice is too high glycemic, switch to pear juice or peach juice.
Great advice. Dr. Andres Allen.
No sugar in it.
Yeah. Dr. Allen, thank you so much for all of your sage advice here in 2017. You've been on the Crush War on Sugar. This is the third time this year, and we need to do it much, much more often. Thank you so much for your information. Have a great, great holiday season, and we're going to look forward to tapping into that brain of yours in 2018.
Thanks very much. And plus, you know what? There are some good questions tonight.
Yeah, no, our listeners, and
they're very smart. They're very smart.
It would be great to set aside 3 hours and just go through the text here because we've got some great ones.
That'd be my favorite thing. Just let me answer their questions.
Yeah, we'll set it up. We're going to try to set that up in the new year. How about that?
Cool.
Great. Dr. Allen, thank you so much.
Happy holidays.
Absolutely. To you as well. All right. Okay, everybody, that was a fantastic discussion with Dr. Andres Allen, who is the Chief Biomedical Officer for the Glycemic Research Institute. Look, there is so much information that we need to get to. Let me quickly try to sum this up. The brain controls everything. If we send the wrong signal to the brain, we are doomed. We are doomed. Our bodies are doomed. If the type of energy we're putting into our bodies isn't a usable energy, it gets shuttled straight to the fat cells, disrupts our blood chemistry, and can drastically reduce our performance in life, in school, academics, your job, and certainly in sport. This new research on the impact of high glycemic drinks and carbohydrates on testosterone has massive implications, not just for our athletes, everybody, but for you and your general health as well. And not just males, females as well. So a lot of great stuff coming up in 2018. Listen, if you guys have questions that you'd like us to get to, let us know via our website. We got some exciting Crush coming up in the month of December here, the Crush gift for the athlete. And going into the new year, we're going to do a special on corruption in sport. I want to thank you for listening. Thank the Con Man. And we'll talk to you next week right here on Crush Performance.
Goodbye now. Don't forget to write.
This is Jim Fannin, America's Zone Coach, and I'm excited about bringing my new podcast, The Jim Fannin Show, to RadioInfluence.com. Each week, we're going to talk about the zone and how this mindset can help you in all facets of your life. I'll give you all the tools you need to change your life and help guide you to become your genuine, authentic best self. With the only proven blueprint for attracting the zone mindset, I've helped transform millions of lives. In my 40 years of experience, I've coached CEOs and senior executives from 350 of the Fortune 500 companies in 50 different industries. I've coached professional athletes, Olympic gold medalists, Hall of Famers, all pros, all stars, entertainers, and so many more to help them gain the tools and techniques to create a life of simplicity, balance, and abundance. And now it's my privilege to bring these methods to you every week, along with some of my champion good friends as special guests. If you want to get in the zone in all you do, check out the Jim Fannin Show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, and of course, RadioInfluence.com.